Thank you so much for joining us again today for the Word for Life Radio Ministry. The last couple of times we've been together, Allison Ulfang has been sharing her personal testimony. Just as we finished the last time, she was sharing with us that she had a friend who eventually she married, and he asked her, "Are you saved?" Well, what does that mean? That was confusing to you, wasn't it, Allison?
Yes. Yeah.
But after you talked about it and he explained it, and then you listened to Adrian Rogers on the radio again and again and again, you totally understood, hey, I can see. Yeah, I have to see myself as a sinner first, and then I ask him to forgive my sin and come into my life and save me. And we were just ending the broadcast last time with you receiving the assurance of salvation without having to pray every day to be saved again.
Right, yes. And after I did pray, I didn't struggle with assurance anymore. And after I was saved, directly after that, there was a lot of trouble that started happening between me and my mom.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to start going to Eric's church because he went to a non-denominational church, and I had never heard the gospel at the Catholic church, so I felt like I belonged where they were preaching the gospel.
Okay, all right.
But my mom was very unsure of what Eric's church believed, and she didn't want me to go there.
Okay.
So I was very dishonest and deceitful at that time, and I would tell her that I was going to sing at the Catholic church, but I would go to Eric's church instead. I felt bad about that, and eventually she found out, and we had a really big argument.
You know, mothers will do that.
Right.
They'll find out.
Yes. I know she was just worried about me.
Right.
But it was just a hard time, and it was hard to be in a fight with her because I was always so close to her.
Right.
And after about a month or so, my mom had decided that I wasn't joining a cult, and things calmed down.
Okay.
I apologized for being disrespectful and dishonest,
mm-hmm.
and we decided that I would go to both churches.
Okay.
So I went to the Catholic church in the morning, like super early, and then I would go to Eric's church when his church service started.
Right.
And I also continued singing at the Catholic church when I was scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2012, after Eric and I got married, I stopped singing for the Catholic church completely.
Okay.
Because he wanted me to do that.
Right.
And
now that you were married, it was okay with your mom?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We got married at the non-denominational church.
Okay.
And the only thing that was a problem during the wedding was she didn't want me to say the word submit. But I did, because I explained to her that submitting is not him having total control and domination over
right,
me.
Right. She'd had some bad experiences herself, say, and so she
right.
didn't understand the concept
yes.
of biblical submission.
Yes. So the church that we went to was wonderful for learning about God's word and applying it to our lives, but there wasn't really anyone there for me to become friends with or
okay.
really connect with on the same stage of life. There
right.
were no married young couples.
Okay, okay.
So I kept asking Eric, can we look for a new church? And he was always a little bit unsure.
Mm-hmm.
But right after our son was born in 2013, we decided to look for a new church. And we tried out three different churches, and one church that we tried out was really nice, but it was super small, and it was full of all senior citizens, which
okay.
was nice to talk with them, but we were looking for people in our same stage of life.
Sure, sure.
But they did really enjoy seeing Zach. He was only 11 days old when we went there,
mm-hmm.
and so they really enjoyed that.
Right.
So we eventually came to Brookside here, and I met other people who were in the same stage of life as me, and I've made a lot of friends, and I actually recently learned that one of my friends here went to our old church, and I just never met her.
Oh, okay.
So it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
And then in 2014, in August, I was baptized here.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something I was so excited for. I had wanted to be baptized since I was saved in 2009, and I always felt like I couldn't because of my mom, for one thing. Mm-hmm. And then after we were married, it was just kind of a crazy time, and I hadn't thought of it for a little while, and then our son was born, so I was very excited to be baptized, and after I was baptized, now, for some reason, I think it's just the reminder of what I did, what salvation is.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So now when I am singing in church,
mm-hmm.
almost every single service, I start to tear up a little bit with
sure.
any song.
Because music has had such an integral part of your life.
Right.
Yes. Uh-huh.
But I look forward to each Sunday, and I've really been growing here, and I'm very thankful for this church.
You know, talking about the past church, no young married couples there. I think it's a great time for me to just simply tell the folks that are listening to us this morning that in January, my wife and I started something that we call the 2B1 class for engaged couples and newlywed couples. And it has been so much fun. We have 20 couples in our church that are engaged and newlyweds. And so if you folks that are listening to us are in the same situation that Eric and Allison were in a previous church, nobody of their age and newlyweds, come join us. Come visit with us. And I think you'll find a real place here.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. That would have been very nice for
us. It would have been a help, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So as we consider the move here to Brookside, you've made new friends and kind of gotten established. What types of things have you done that have made you feel at home at Brookside?
Well, I'm in a young mom's Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
So I get to do that twice a month and talk with other ladies who also have young children.
Right.
And we encourage each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm also involved in the nursery ministry here.
Oh, cool.
So I've met a lot of moms that way, too.
Right, right.
And I'm directing 1 week there, so mm-hmm. I found a way to be more involved in our church.
That's great.
Yeah.
I think you're also involved in something called EE.
Yes.
What is that?
That is where we go out to people who have visited our church, mm-hmm. and we see how their visit was, and then we ask if we could share the gospel with them.
Right.
And that is something I really kind of felt like I wanted to do.
Right.
I wanted to find a way to just learn how to share the gospel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I felt that was very important because it is Jesus' last command
right.
to go out and make disciples.
Right.
And so this program has been a wonderful thing in my life. I've really enjoyed it.
You would encourage people to get involved?
I would, definitely.
EE stands for what?
Evangelism Explosion.
Okay, and the classes are when?
Wednesday nights.
Wednesday nights. Okay.
Yep, from 6 to 8:45
mm-hmm.
or so.
Okay. When you consider what it means to learn how to share your faith, was that scary at first?
A bit, yes, because mm-hmm. you feel like they're going to say, I'm not interested.
Okay.
Why are you talking to me about this? That's none of your business. But I actually found, especially with this program, Evangelism Explosion, that people are more willing to talk about it than you would think.
Okay.
So that's been an encouragement to me to just at least try to ask.
Right.
And especially the two questions that they give you to ask.
Which are what?
The first question is, have you come to the place where you could say for certain that you know you're going to heaven?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that something that you would say that you're working on?
That's a very important question, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of people say they know they're going to heaven or they're pretty sure.
Okay, okay.
And then the second question is, suppose you were to die today and stand before God and he were to say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you answer?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you really learn what people are trusting in.
You get all kinds of answers, don't you?
Yes. You get a lot of, well, because I've lived a good life.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm a good person. Or you get, because I asked Jesus to save me, and he is my personal savior. He died for my sins.
Right. There's probably quite a few people, Allison, that kind of think like you did before you came to the knowledge of understanding. If I go to church, if I do my best, and I know about Jesus, I'm probably okay.
Right.
And as you talk to folks, if that's the kind of answer that you get, how do you decide, do I keep on talking, or is there a question then that you ask to see if they have an interest in knowing that that's not what the Bible says?
Well, you can say, may I share with you how I know that I have eternal life.
Okay.
And then you say that you have good news to share with them.
Okay.
So, and of course, that good news, you start off with heaven as a free gift.
Right. So that personal testimony then, everybody has a personal testimony, kind of mm-hmm. like we said couple of broadcasts ago, everybody has a personal testimony like everybody has a fingerprint. And so as you share your personal testimony, it's kind of hard for anybody to argue about that, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Because it's your personal testimony.
Right.
It's not theirs.
Right. Yeah.
So do you find that as you're sharing your personal testimony, you begin to win a hearing with some people?
Well, sure, because I think there's something that everyone can connect to in your life, even if it's something small. So maybe someone connects music with me.
Right, right.
Or possibly the Catholic religion. Or
just any kind of common ground, so to speak, that you can open up a conversation.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also interesting to watch how the Holy Spirit just really does a special work in people's hearts. And often he's already been preparing somebody before you even have an opportunity to talk to him.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. You see that a lot.
And to be able to say, wow, this is a God thing.
Yes.
For us to be talking to this person tonight, because it may be the only time that person is ever there, but yet God opens the door.
Yes. Or you talk to someone that you hadn't been meaning to talk to. You go to visit someone who visited the church and you get their relative.
Right, right. Sometimes I would knock on a door when I would start a church in Georgia, and I was visiting someone who had visited our church, but nobody was home. So I would go to the neighbor on the right and the neighbor on the left, introduce myself and say, your neighbor visited our church, and I was just trying to revisit them. Do you have any clue when would be a better time for me to stop by and visit them? Just helping them to understand, you know, that I'm from the church, so to speak, as opposed to, are you a salesman or who
right.
are you? You know, that kind of a thing. And sometimes they would do more than answer my question, and I would just kind of sense that there's an interest on their part.
Sure.
With things of the Lord.
Yeah.
It was really neat to watch the Lord sometimes open a door that I had no clue I was going to be talking to anybody at that house. And I guess that's what EE training does for you, even when you're not out making an EE visit. How do they say it? Something about a swivel neck? Is that how they describe it? That you're looking around for what God is doing. And so as you watch God do that, you realize God could possibly use me in my neighborhood, maybe where I work or where I go to school, and that kind of a thing, and begin to open some doors. Well, folks, thank you so much for listening to us the last few times, and I trust that you begin to understand that just as one person asked Allison one time, do you know the Lord is your Savior? Are you saved? You can have the exact same effect by simply asking honest questions. Don't waste your life. Use it for eternity. Till the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.